Hey, everybody, welcome into Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Doug Plagans, Jameson Olive here with you. And, well, we're getting into the, I guess it's not going to be long, but a slow part of the off season.
Finally.
Yeah, the Panthers have been in the news quite a bit, and we had the big trade, and Matthew Tkachuk's now a Panther, and we go back in time. We, of course, had free agency, and we had the draft, and all that, but now in development camp, everything that led us up to this point, but now we've got a little bit of time to fill until we turn the page into September, and it's going to come quickly. We know that's going to come quickly, and then we're going to have training camp and preseason and a ramp up to the home opener, which is on October 19th at FLA Live Arena against the Philadelphia Flyers. Single game tickets and all the ticket packages. Whether you want to go to one game or all the games, by yourself or with all your friends, floridapanthers.com, 954-835-PUCK. That is where to go. But all that being said, and that was a lot, we are going to have a mailbag edition of Territory Talk.
We haven't done one
in a bit.
Next
time we do an episode of Territory Talk, Jameson, you're going to be married.
Yeah.
How about that? That's a
and, big one. Also, because of that, tomorrow, or should I say next week, is going to be a rare week without Territory Talks. I'm not allowed to Territory Talk for my honeymoon.
Oh, okay.
I've been told no.
The audience and I just heard that together for the first time.
Breaking news.
Okay.
So next week's off for everybody.
All right.
No TT. Right.
Audience, can you handle that?
But yeah.
Maybe I'll make myself extra
available.
For
our listeners out there, Doug is a part of the bridal party. He's a groomsman, and he will be emceeing some introductions at the wedding. So he's working / partying a little
bit. That's a risk on the part of you guys.
I know. It's going to be good. Yeah. We're just giving you a mic as usual, letting you do what you want.
Again, that's a risk on the part of you guys. We'll see how that all plays. Is anybody live tweeting the event?
No, but we'll give a full after action once we get back.
And will there be, you never know who might whip out a phone and start videotaping.
Oh, so yeah, there's going to be footage. There's
going to
be coverage, but nothing official.
All right. Well, that's what's coming up here, folks. Big weekend in the life of Jameson Olive. And, of course, we have a big episode of Territory Talk today. And you saw the tweets yesterday, and I threw one out a little bit ago. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and we're putting the episode out on a Wednesday. And there's a lot to get to. There were a lot of questions. And Jameson, you have all those over there. This is an episode. We like to do these every once in a while. They're catch-up episodes. We like to see what you all have on your mind. And then we can answer the questions.
And I feel like this is also the time of the year where people just have questions.
Yeah, there are questions.
There's finally no news, so it's up to us to make some news. Fans want to know things. Hopefully we can answer. We had a lot of good questions. We can't answer them all. Some, as team employees, we have to stay
away
from.
Some are questionable.
Some are questionable. But for the most part, there's a lot we can answer on here. So let's just start it off, Doug.
Let's dive in.
First one is from the Impatient Panther, frequent questionnaire. He questions us often on here. Who do you see as alternate captains taking over for Huberdeau? So the thing about that is, you and I have had this discussion before. Neither of us are fans of the home and road variation.
Yeah.
We just want a captain and two alternates. That's kind of what we want. So if I'm just,
sometimes it's part of a trial process.
Yeah, and I think they probably will do the four total alternates again this year. But if I'm just picking two plus Barkey as the captain, I'm probably going Tkachuk and Ek.
I don't think I'd go any further than that either. I think I'd go with the same thing.
And if you add two more, probably Hornquist and Reinhart, would you say, if you had to expand?
I'm running through it. Yeah, I'd probably be on the same page there. Maybe Sam Bennett.
Goods, maybe.
Yep.
Throw his name in there. There's a lot of good veterans to choose from. Mark Stahl's worn an A for most of his career.
Yep.
Maybe he shows up day one and takes on that role. But overall, I think more than anything, the answer to the question for us is that we just want two alternates and a captain. I want to downsize the leadership group a little bit. They're all leaders in that room. It's such a good room of guys and leaders that I think, and not everyone, they all have letters, hypothetically, metaphorical letters on their chest. So it's not a huge deal, but it would be cool just to go back to 2-1, I think.
So I'm right with you on the overall configuration that we just laid out, but I feel like Tkachuk and Ekblad are certainly your first in line as far as A's are concerned.
And this is the next one from Daniel. With the amount of buyouts...
Daniel the manual.
With the amount of buyouts and dead cap space you see in the NHL, changing the rules... I got to reword this a little bit. Sorry, it's hard to fit your whole question in one tweet, I understand. So basically he's asking, do you think they should make a rule change in the NHL where you lose X amount of salary or draft picks as a way to circumvent the cap a little bit. So you can go over the cap, but it's going to cost you draft picks, basically. I'm against. I think the problem is we're all going a little flat cap crazy, because ever since COVID, the cap's been kind of stuck here.
This isn't normal what's happening right now.
No, and
we don't need to go crazy over it. We don't need to come up with new rules. The cap has... There have been things in the world that have happened, and that's why the cap's flat. I wouldn't expect that we're going to see this long term. I think we are going to get back to our regularly scheduled incremental increases of the salary cap.
But I do think there will be
year.
One big increase. And then
yes,
back
and
to
I think that is coming.
And that's just going to make contracts like Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk just that much better. So that's good to know. And speaking of that, if you haven't, head over to The Athletic right now. They have a basically they rank the contracts for every single team in the league. And you know who's number one? The Florida Panthers. No surprise there. Tkachuk, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Duclair, Bennett,
yep.
Ek, Forsling. So many good contracts on this team. So that's good to see. Go read. It's a great read. I was fascinated seeing all the other teams. So always great work at The Athletic. But the Panthers right now, per The Athletic, best contracts in the league. And that's not even accounting for the fact they're going to have, you know, $15 million or so in cap space next year to add some more. So that's exciting. Ooh, this one's from Kurt, longtime friend of the program.
Kurt, friend of the program.
I know you want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's going to have to be a quick answer. What is your favorite sports card in your collection and why?
Favorite sports card in my collection and why? It's not going to be the most valuable sports card in my collection, but my favorite sports card in my collection, I probably speak for a lot of people from our era. My favorite card ever is the 1989 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, card number one. Card number one in the first ever Upper Deck release. And I believe it's one of those iconic cards that everybody recognizes, whether you collect cards or not. And I think you could make a case for that card being on the all-time Mount Rushmore of sports cards just because of what it's meant to a generation of not only collectors, but just of culture in general. And it's Ken Griffey Jr., who's one of the most beloved athletes
and the coolest athlete
30 years. Yeah,
one of the
exactly.
coolest athletes. Mount Rushmore are cool in terms of sports. And I think, yeah, that's kind of the 52 mantle of our generation, that card, I think.
Nowhere near as rare.
Nowhere near
if
as
you
rare.
Want one, you can go
but
get
iconic.
One. Yep.
But iconic. So, you know what? I mean, there's a million we could go into. I love my favorite Panthers card. I got that Ekblad UD exclusives out of 100 Young Guns. So that's only going to rise in value as that keeps crushing it. So that's cool. And I like to have as many little Panther cards as possible. I buy a lot of like $2 autos of guys like Alexander Petrovich and Mark Pizik and those guys, just because they're all stories for one day. I'm going to, you know, pull those out of the closet 30 years from now. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, working with that guy, talking to him.
On the 9,000th episode of Territory Talk, yeah. We'll get all those out.
So, there's a million. We'll have a whole card episode one of these days. Maybe an offshoot podcast. We'll see how much people want that. But moving along, this next one. Ooh, I like this one. Because I've been thinking about this as well. With players on each line from last year having chemistry, i.e. Barkov, Verhaeghe, Bennett, Duclair, Reinhart, Lundell, do you see Paul Maurice plugging holes or blowing up the lineup and starting new? If we plug holes, where does Tkachuk fit with the rest of the new players?
Well, I'm sure that Paul Maurice has gone... I'm sure he has and or will go through, clips from last year, things like that, just to get acclimated. And I know he said he watched Panthers games and things like that. So you might take some of what you saw, but over the course of a year, you can't get too, not to throw the, I guess it's a wedding themed episode. You can't get too married to any certain line combination because it's 82 games. Sometimes you just have to swing things around just because you might need to get somebody going. You might need to ignite something. You might have a game or two where something just gets stale and you want to flip it around. So you can't get too, as I said, married to a certain line concept. You're going to need to get a lot of things. You're going to need to see who can play with who, things like that. But over the course of last year, we did see a lot of chemistry with certain players. Wouldn't be surprised.
And I think what we saw last year, too, I mean, you can go as far down as the third line on this team, and there's still guys putting up 25 goals and 60, 70 points. I mean, there's no bad place to play on this lineup up front. This team is so deep.
And guys know it.
Carter Verhaeghe and Barkov, I think, have been the number one constant the last two seasons. Those guys playing together. So maybe that sticks together next year. But it is fun knowing Paul Maurice is coming in with a completely fresh view. You really don't know what you're going to get. So I think the only, you know, real big question mark is, where is Tkachuk going to play? Is it going to be with Barkey? Is it going to be with Bennett? You know, which lines are you going to, you know, the Flames reunion? Are you just going to put him up with Barkey and put all your eggs in that basket? Not the Panthers have a lot of eggs, but those are your two biggest eggs. And you do put them in that one basket there on the top line. I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. I think every player on this team can complement each other well. But I think once you find out where Tkachuk goes, then the rest of the pieces can fall where they may and they all work out. Because I think
the curtain of eggs is a dozen. You have a, you get the dozen forwards.
Yeah,
it's kind of a
but heading into the season,
there,
I think
right?
the only
it's a grocery observation. You're talking about eggs and baskets and things like that.
Eggs, baskets. It's the Easter episode. We got to save that. Save all your egg puns for the Easter episode. But I think the only things we know for sure heading into next season in terms of lineups is Barkey's your 1C, X your 1D. Let's see where everyone else goes. But that's because this team is so deep and there's so many options.
I was going to say, there's a luxury in that you really can't come up with a wrong answer. You have a whole lineup of guys that can really be interchangeable up and down throughout. And guys are going to be able to produce no matter where they end up in that lineup. And Anton Lundell, Sam Reinhart, we saw them have great chemistry last year, as was brought up there. So, again, especially in the top nine, you're going to have a lot of guys producing around pretty close to a point per. You really can't go wrong, and it's a great luxury for this team.
Yeah, that's a good question. That question was from Jim D 28002315. I wonder if that's a family name.
8675309.
So thank you, Jim D. Next one, Noah Berger, longtime friend of the program. When are you actually coming to a Marlins game for once? I have not been to a Marlins game in several years.
Well, they just traded Anthony Bass.
That's your buddy.
And that's my buddy. So,
and you're not going up to Toronto to see him, probably.
Yeah. So I really don't know.
Saturday the 13th, I have an open invitation to go. I might go. That's a work invitation. So maybe I'll be there for Saturday, August 13th.
I can see myself going to a Jupiter Hammerheads game at some point.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Jupe's a good spot.
Yep. Maybe that's where
we go.
Got
the brewery right there. But I don't know. Like, I don't... It's, we've said this before. Like, people can knock on, you know, the location of, you know, FLA Live as much as they want. But it's so easy to get to, so easy to get out of. I am angry for the first three innings every time I go to a Marlins game, just for the headache it takes to get down there and park and get to where you want to go. And then by the time I'm feeling good, I got a couple innings, and then I got to worry about getting back and getting back out.
I just worry that, Jameson, we've seen the top of the mountain. We know we're never going to be able to top Brian Anderson's walk-off sack fly from like 3 years ago. I mean, that was something.
That was like, remember the only time you and I have ever high-fived at a sporting
event. Stood up and high-fived for a walk-off sack fly against a non-playoff Giants team.
We haven't had a lot of reasons to high-five with the fish since then, but hey, we believe and we'll get back.
I will say, though,
support locally.
My friend Anthony has had a great season out of the pen, and he's going to get a chance to be a part of a pennant race now, so I'm excited for him.
Yeah, be rooting them. I haven't decided who my playoff teams are going to be yet. But next question's from Harry Lampley. H. Lamp, friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
Where were you?
Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
Where were you when you heard Hubie and Weegs got traded? Did you have prior knowledge? What was your initial reaction? I was in shock. So I think, going back to that day.
I always like, where were you when's? Those are good questions.
Yeah, so that day I had to, because obviously we had the release ready to go on the website to announce it. So I built the release on the website. So I had the info, but just sitting on that's always stressful. Just because it's kind of like that thing when you're like looking, when you're somewhere like high up and you're looking over a ledge and you know you're not going to jump, but your feet still get tingly because you just think something bad might happen just in that precarious position. The article's built. You're still waiting for final confirmation and everything, but you got to be ready to go. You just have to build it hypothetically to have it there. And like, there's a button there. It says, you know, push to production. And I'm like, I'm not clicking it, but like, it's right there. You know, like I'm nervous. So it was nerve wracking to sit on the information like that before it went out. But, you know, obviously in terms of like actual like reaction as, you know, someone that like that was a workplace reaction. Reaction as, you know, someone that, you know, just covers the team, has worked for these guys for a long time. We covered all that, you know, last week. But just obviously, yeah, shock. But at the same time, a certain level of excitement with just like what it meant for the league and the Panthers, just a seismic trade. You know, like we said, you know, last week, it's a franchise altering move, and that's exciting.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I think I was on my couch either watching Seinfeld or playing that Formula One video game that I got. My first video game I've gotten in 3 years, and probably the only video game I get. I don't know if I'll ever get another one because I think Xbox One's going to be done.
Let's get a new Xbox.
But I don't see myself making that sort of commitment. I'll probably, if anything, I'll go back in time and get an old system. But I was just on my couch, saw it happen.
Just another guy.
It was just, it was an excitement. And I think maybe, Jameson, it comes from, we've worked in and around pro sports for a long time. when you see trades get made, you have an excitement, but I guess nothing in pro sports really surprises you anymore. And I think I saw it and I thought, you know what? It's a good trade. And it just shows again that when there is a deal to be done that could improve the ball club, Bill Zito knows how to swing a deal.
Oh yeah.
And when that deal was made, I thought, you know what, this is something that sets the team up big picture in a great spot for many years to come. And it was Bill Zito just being out ahead of the game, which we've seen him do time and time again, as far as the trade world is concerned.
And I think it was just so cool for me just to see a hockey trade break through and also be a part of it. Like the fact that, you know, Tkachuk was on like legit American Sports Center that night with Linda Cohen, like prime time, talking about the move, and then it was on the bottom ticker, breaking news, and then it got all this coverage on, it was on PTI. You know, the fact that it was that big enough that it broke into the mainstream sports world, I thought was really cool. And I had people that I haven't talked to in a while texting me saying like, "Oh, I saw you guys made a crazy trade." Like,
yep, same.
It's important to do that. It's important to break through, and I just thought it was cool that we broke through like that. And I think that helps. And I think just to be a part of something like that, I think we're gonna remember that day for a long time.
And I think a lot of people in sports, if you separate this, if you just look at sports fans throughout North America, the overall landscape, I think there were a lot of people who were refreshed by the fact that a trade was made where the first objective had nothing to do with salary cap.
Yeah.
It was a straight up, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
The hockey trade.
Yep. And it's in a way, it's too bad that hockey trade has to be a phrase that we use now.
It's so rare.
Because you don't, a lot of trades are made for other reasons, not just X's and O's based and skills and teams addressing needs. Mm-hmm. A lot of times trades are made because somebody needs to free up cap.
It's usually salary, especially with the flat cap.
Or whatever. Yeah. Whatever the situation may be.
Next one's from Matt Pryor. I wonder if he's related to our buddy Mark Pryor from the Cubs.
I remember him. Yep.
Maybe. We'll see. Even with Duclair starting the season on LTIR, the Panthers are $375,000 over the cap. Looks like they'll have to make another significant salary move. Basically, he's asking who fills those spots, but the thing I'll say is that like they're over the cap, yes, even with that, but that's with 23 guys. The Panthers don't have to carry 23 guys. They could carry 22, they could carry 21, they could carry 20. The cap's not an issue. They're going to fit under it. It's not a big deal. But in terms of who's taking Duke's spot, that's tough because there's a million guys that have the opportunity. You know, Denisenko, Heppo, one of those rookies could show up and, you know, ball out and have a great camp and earn that spot. Rudolph Spousers, high on him. I think he's due for a breakout here. I think he fits the breakout mold.
I think the Panthers got him way under what I just feel like they got a real bargain on him.
Yeah, and Nick Cousins isn't going to score 30 goals like Duke, but Nick Cousins is a guy that can, you know, provide value with what he does in a spot like that if you give him more minutes. And then Colin White, we've talked about the ultimate X factor. Colin White's also another guy that could really break out and find success here like so many other players have. So there's a lot of guys that spot's open for grabs, and a lot of guys are going to go for it. And I think that internal competition is going to breed success.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you mentioned there, Jameson, is the Panthers. That's not a huge amount of money when you're talking NHL salary caps.
No.
And you can find ways to get around that. And if it means carrying 22 guys on the roster when you're relatively healthy, then that's
we were
how
a
you
team that carried we didn't carry 23 for a long or a couple of years there, and then because of once you got to COVID and the taxi squad, and then we just it seemed like we always had more bodies.
What an era
of
the taxi squad!
Yeah, but like it's not foreign for us to carry 22 or 21 guys. It's something we've done in the past, and sometimes less,
and they're not
sometimes less is more too, because you don't have so many excess guys. More guys are just focused on the main group,
and we won't see them get into a situation like we saw Vegas get into, where I think they were dressing 16 skaters on
no,
a certain night to
no risk of that
to fit everybody in. So I don't think we'll have to. I don't think it's going to be a major issue.
No. Next one's from the Boozy Beggar. Who will become the
friend
player
of the program?
Well, this is his question too. Who will become the player most recognized as friend of the program with Weegs gone? Because Weegs, I mean, like, we talk about ripple effect. Weegs was the all-time leader in territory talk appearances at the time of his departure to the Flames. So that's an open spot. It's there for the taking.
I believe we actually had a brief discussion. Who was it? We talked to a player in that when we do the interviews in that locker room over at the Ice Den.
Yeah.
And we actually mentioned that Mackenzie Weegar was the leader, the active leader. In
it was either Duke or Carter we were talking to about that.
And I could see Carter Verhaeghe making a charge.
Carter,
he's gonna be here. He's on a contract. He's got time.
He
loves the show.
I think he's been enjoying getting on the show, and also he's had a couple. The two times he's been on, he's gotten good territory talk bumps. First time we had him on was his like right when he got here before he even played a game, just signed the contract. What did he do after? Had a career year, got another contract. And then when we had him on last year, he just went off after the show and had a really good stretch run. So I think he respects the territory talk bump.
So I think Carter Verhaeghe, I think Anton Lundell is the other candidate. Because
we're getting to Lundy Young.
Well, I was going to say Anton Lundell. He's padding his stats on territory talk at a young age. He's been coming on the show since he was drafted.
Most guys don't make their territory talk debut till they're 23, 24. Right. He's getting the years in.
I think he was 19 the first time he was on the show. So he's got such a head start, it'd be tough to bet against him.
Yeah, so I'm honestly, that was my picks too. My picks were it was Carter Lundy.
Yeah, I think that's who it's going to be.
Stay tuned.
If you're a fan of Territory Talk, if you plan to continue to listen, you're probably going to get some more of those guys in the future. Hope that's okay.
And honestly, Kachuk seems like a guy that's always down to hang and do some content.
He had a great first appearance.
We'll see. Well, it's wide open.
Yep.
Seats open for whoever wants to take it. Another one from Boozy Beggar Seth. Who's going to be the rising star this year? And we touched on it a little bit, and I think so many guys had their rising star moment last year, whether it was Duke, whether it was Carter taking another step, whether it was Gus Forsling breaking out, Montour had a career year. So many guys had careers last year that there's only a couple guys left that like can have that rising star status. So I think it comes down to some of the new guys that came in and potentially one of the rookies. So I think I still like Denisenko if he's 100% coming off that injury from last year, if he gets an opportunity, because the opportunity's not wide open for him. He's got to jump over some vets to get that spot. He's competing with guys, you know, like Nick Cousins, like Balcers, those guys for good minutes. So if he gets the opportunity, potentially he runs with it. I think I'd bet on Denny. I like his raw skill set, but I think Balcers. I think if he gets the minutes, he had a career year last year. He had a really good year with the Sharks in a limited role. I think he's poised. I think he's poised to strike.
He scored double-digit goals on a team that struggled.
And he just looks like he just, now that we've like have the blueprint for guys that have come in here and broken out, he just kind of fits the mold.
The change of scenery.
Forechecker, high energy, 25.
He's going to get to play with the most talented group that he's probably played with.
Fits the mold for me.
Yeah, he has a chance to really break out. There's also going to be an opportunity for somebody to break out internally, if somebody grabs that sixth defenseman spot and becomes a really significant contributor. And I think Lucas Carlson has a chance to do that. Matt Kierstead has a chance to do that. And we're going to go down the list. There are a number of guys that have an opportunity to become an every night guy. And let's be honest, you don't have to light up the score sheet to become an every night solid contributor as a sixth defenseman. Somebody could come in, grab that, put in 16 good minutes a night, and maybe play some penalty kill and become a very valuable part of this hockey team, even if they're, as I said, not showing up on the score sheet every night. That's an important element to have, and there's going to be an opportunity there for somebody.
And that's another thing. All these guys are coming in fresh with Paul Maurice. He has no ties to any of these guys. It's all, you know, first impressions once again for all these guys. So all these guys have a chance to make their mark day one of camp. And like you said, carve one of the spots, hold on to it.
Yeah, somebody's going to have a chance. And I also think I know we're coming from the Anton Lundell fan club over here, but I just think he's going to be a star in the league sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He had such
a good rookie year.
But I really think there's going to be even – some people might say last year was a breakout. I think there's going to be even more of a breakout, and it's going to come sooner rather than later.
So he cracked it last year, and he's going to fully break it next year.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. That's the thing. I didn't put Lundy because I thought Lundy already broke
last
out.
Year was a polite knock at the door, and this year is going to be
he's a polite guy.
Just bang the door down. Yeah.
My favorite thing with Lundy is whenever I talk to him, and in American culture, we always say, "Hey, remember when?" or "Hey, remember that?" And it's like, "Yeah," but he always says, "Yes, I remember." And I always just love the formality of it. He's such a nice guy. I can't wait for Lundy to get back. Get him on the show right when he gets back.
He's going to keep climbing the charts.
Yeah. Next questions from Adam Folds. With the moves this offseason, do you still see the Panthers as a top three team in the Atlantic? I think, of course.
Absolutely. Nothing changes there.
Because like I said, we talked about it previous episodes, the only players you're replacing from the pre-deadline Panthers last year, which were already the best, you know, top two, three team in the league, not the division, the entire league, were Marchment, Achari, and now Hubie and Weegs. And you're bringing in a bunch of depth forwards that can help out, and you're also bringing in Matthew Tkachuk. every guy's probably also taking another little step forward. Duke will be back midseason.
And as we said, there's going to be an opportunity for somebody to grab that defense spot.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, I think it's the same top three as last year. Maybe not, it's not, I would never try and predict an order because there's chaos in the NHL, but I think top three are looking, once again, Panthers, Lightning, and Leafs in any order, those three teams, top three again. We keep betting on the Bruins to take a step back. Maybe they do this year. I think they do a little bit.
I'll say this is the year for that. Too many injuries in the beginning of the year. It's going to be hard to withstand.
So we'll see. And then, of course, we both think the Red Wings and Senators will take a nice little step forward, but not be there yet for top three.
They're going to make you earn it, though.
Oh, yeah. There's no, yep. I mean, other than the Canadians, there's not going to be an easy out.
Yep.
And even that's not an easy out, but it stands out. The Canadians are far and away the thinnest team in the Atlantic Division. Every other team is going to be very competitive, I think.
A lot of youth, but they're on their way, too. They're taking the right steps. So there no free nights.
What do you think that first
division.
Game against Montreal is going to be like? Because I feel like a lot of guys that obviously a lot of guys weren't in the lineup because you're resting everyone. But that where we gave up 10 last year.
Yep.
Because we were just checked out waiting for the playoffs. Not half the team was resting. I feel like the big boys are going to get it back in that game and get some revenge.
Well, it's going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to that one.
And it's going to be interesting to see the top pick could be playing in that game. We'll see mm-hmm. what direction they decide to go with him. But lots of subplots to watch in the Atlantic Division. But getting back to Boston, Jameson, I just think they're just missing too many guys to start. And we've seen how difficult it can be if you fall into a hole early on.
And the next one, Seth got three, and they're all pretty good. So I'm doing another one with him. Who is the likely number 7 and number 8 defenseman? I don't think we need to get into number 8, but in my mind, let me take
you just named a couple names. Yeah,
I'm going to just go through some defensemen that I think are locks. Obviously, you have Ek and Forsling. You got, you know, Gudas and Montour, and you got Carlson and Staal. I think those guys are locked in for at least spots. Maybe not all top six. Obviously, some of them definitely are, but those guys are all locked in for sure, I think. Then once you get to a little bit farther after that, so guys maybe fighting for the 7 spot, you have the Michael Dalzados, you have the Betetos, you have the Kiersteds, you have the John Ludvigs. I think the John Ludvig is a real X factor here. Obviously hurt majority of last season, but they're really high on him. He brings an edge, a tough game. He plays the type of game the Panthers are trying to play now, as you can see, when they're trying to get tougher, trying to be meaner. He's that guy. Love him to death. I think he's going to be a great player in the NHL. But will it be as soon as next year? We'll find out. But I think, and I'll even throw Carlson in there, in terms of like the 6-7 battle for like those guys, like fill those spots. You have Carlson, you have Dalzado, you got Betetto, you have Ludvig, and you have Kierstead. I think all those guys fighting for those spots. But if I had to pick, I think Carlson makes it, and I wouldn't be surprised if Dalzado makes it to start. He's a veteran.
He's been around. That's the big thing with him. The experience, he's been around. And the same thing with Anthony Betetto. Sort of along the lines of Jameson, a Kevin Connaughton who the Panthers had, where you have him around, you can plug him in anytime you need, you know what you're going to get out of him, and he can just play anywhere you need him to play. If you're trying to audition somebody else, if somebody else is kind of up and down, you know you're going to get consistency out of those veterans. So they have options.
That's the thing about the Panthers. They have options everywhere. Next one is from Fred Callahan. Callahan Automotive. Oh, come on. Tommy Boy.
I haven't seen that movie in like 20 years.
Oh, come on.
Seen it, though.
Jeez. Fred Callahan. Who's your pick for the first gun? Who's your pick for the first young gun to come up to the A squad? So that's tough because, like I said, we don't know who's going to make the team out of camp. But if guys knocking down the door up front, you have probably Denisenko, Hepaniemi, sort of once he heals up. So I think those three guys, maybe forwards, top three right there knocking on the door. Defenseman, like we said, Kierstead, Ludvig. I think those are the top.
Yeah, we pretty much named everybody by now who's in the mix.
Well, the weird thing is we haven't even mentioned, like, I mean, guys like. I left this guy out of the breakout, but you have Anton Lebchi, you know, coming up, going to be in the NHL. It's a one-way deal. He can make some noise up front at forward, but he's not really a young gun. He's 26. But I think if I'm picking one guy, I'm saying Denisenko, saying Denny.
I think he's the safest bet, and I think he's going to get every opportunity to show what he can do because you know that the ceiling is high with Grigory Denisenko. So, again, if he's healthy and ready to go, he has the skill set to be able to hang and blend in with, again, any of those top three lines that he could wind up with. And because of that, I think he gets the biggest opportunity.
Yeah, and a couple people asked more questions, but I feel like we answered a lot of other questions through these other questions.
Yep.
A lot of these blend together. But there's two more interesting ones. And the first one here I found very interesting. I want your thoughts on this as a foodie, I'd say.
Oh, here we go.
You're not a foodie so much and you explore like the world of food, but I just feel like you enjoy food.
I enjoy food, yes.
So who, this is from Nick Diaz, who on the team is most likely to eat a stack of three pancakes individually rather than cutting into all three at once like nature intended?
Individually. Who's the most detail-oriented Panther? Sergei Bobrovsky? Or who would want... I think what it comes down
to... Okay, but for this exercise, we also have to assume all these guys eat pancakes.
So, yes, exactly.
But I'm saying for the exercise, all
do. So I think if you're going to take a stack of three and cut them individually, there's two things going on. You either are very detail-oriented or you want to savor the whole experience and make it last. So I'm thinking, we know Sergei Bobrovsky is a very detail-oriented man with the way he plays his position. Is he detail-oriented enough that he would cut the pancakes individually? I don't know.
See, my thought on that is like the hyper-focused, super strong mental hard work guys like Bob, like Barky, the guys just like, I've never seen a guy work like that, you know, hardest working guy in the room. I think those guys just see food as fuel. So they're just trying to get it in as quick as possible just so they can get back to work. So that's why I think Bob and Barky probably just do the three at once and just get it in, get out, get back on the treadmill. So I think, honestly, once again, I'm going back to another guy here we've already talked about. I wouldn't be shocked. I think Carter Verhaeghe enjoys the little things in life. And I think he'd enjoy, you know, extending... I like this question a lot. I think he enjoys the little things in life, and I could totally see him, you know, out to brunch. It's a nice day. He's eating outside.
Just enjoying himself.
Why rush it? Why rush it? You know, let's go one flapjack at a time here.
No flapjack.
Is there a difference between pancakes and flapjacks?
I think there is a subtle difference. Maybe somebody could correct us.
Yeah, we need our listener help on that.
There is a slight difference.
But I think Carter Verhaeghe enjoys his pancakes one at a time.
That's an interesting theory. Likes the little things. I think
Radko Gudas probably just eats all three pancakes at once in one bite.
I was going to say, he would not. He's the last person that.
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't even cut him. Just sticks the fork right in the middle and just one bite all.
Let's see. Cuts them all one at a time. Savor the moment. I'm going to take a totally different approach, and I'm going to say the detail-oriented guys will do it.
I have to ask the guys once. This is going to be a question once. We have to. I'm open to asking this question to every guy we get on the pod this year.
I'm going to say that the most detail-oriented Panthers, which are probably Sergei Bobrovsky, Spencer Knight,
Barky,
Alexander Barkov, I think they're going to go one at a time and be as precise as possible.
We need answers to this. Our opinions aren't enough.
We
need hard answers.
We might not get a guest again if we start asking that question, though. That's to them. That's the problem.
Or we'll just get in guys' heads.
They'll be like, what are you talking about?
They won't perform as well because with these head games. They can't focus on the ice. They'll be thinking about pancakes the whole time. The last one here is from Carlos Preto. Hopefully I'm getting that right. It's an F1 question. F1 silly season's off and running, so we always like to do F1 questions here. Are we going to see Andretti racing in F1? If so, dream lineup. Parentheses from the dad of the kid who asked you about F1 at the reading event. I had a great time at the reading.
Yes.
Tour. You and I both did the reading tour.
I was at the first two. Apologies to anybody. I wasn't able to get to the last librarian, two. I was in Atlantic City.
The librarian gave my performance an A.
Good job.
I held the attention. I did a lot of back and forth. I showed all the pictures. I asked a lot of questions.
Your reading skills are up to snuff.
Yeah, I could read. Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing is our community guy told me, he's like, I'm like, you sure want me to do it? And he's like, yeah, like you did it before. We loved you to do it. Like the kids, you know, they love it. You're the team writer. You write things. And I'm like, but they can't read. That's why I'm there. So they don't know who I am. gotta start them young on the reading. So then they want to read my stuff. That's how we get
them. Maybe we could have you do the Panther Summer Writing Tour at some point.
That'd be fun, actually. I'd like to do a writing workshop. That'd actually be cool. But Doug, Andretti Racing, if it ever makes it in, will it make it in? I think eventually, just because there's so much money coming to F1, it's becoming so popular. And I think
they'll
eventually,
add a team at some point.
The powers that be will eventually want a real American team. No offense to Haas.
Well, but with more American races coming in. And Haas, I mean, they have the headquarters in North Carolina, but they run a lot overseas as well.
So dream lineup, I'd say, would be Daniel Ricciardo, just because he's the most probably popular F1 driver in America in terms of just people know him because he's really good at his branding. And then Logan Sargeant. In F2 right now, rookie, third place. Probably going to make it to F1, maybe with Williams, but he's young. He'll be racing for a while, hopefully. But F1 product, I think he was the first driver ever to win first American driver ever to win an F2 race a couple weeks ago. So the best part about him, he's from Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
So he could become a friend of the program if he makes it big.
I think if we're throwing around fantasy team lineups, he's got to be in it for the future. I'll pick somebody other than Daniel Ricciardo just because you've already said Daniel Ricciardo.
I think any new team would want Daniel Ricciardo, even if he lost several steps.
He's a great marketing guy.
Yeah.
He's great for your PR. So I would say just because his name is too good, so good that it sounds like a made up name for a driver in a racing movie, Stoffel Van Dorn.
Stoffel comes back?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? I like that.
He sounds like he'd be in a movie. Sounds like it'd be a character in a movie.
Yeah, big fan. So that thank you for all the questions, everyone. We really appreciate them. Probably last mailbag of the offseason. We'll have some more news coming up. But like I said, no territory talk next week. It's the wedding.
What am I
going
to do with all the free time?
It's the wedding week. But I'll come back with wedding and honeymoon information. We'll talk about that next week. And of course,
while you're on your honeymoon, I'll watch the Honeymooners.
Exactly.
It'll be great for everybody.
I'm trying to think. I've never seen the Honeymooners. I'm aware of it.
It used to come
on. For once, you flipped the script on me.
It used to come on during rain delays on Cubs games on WGN back in the 90s.
When was the last
time? If they went to the Honeymooners, you knew we were going to be, the tarp was going to be on for a while.
It'd be nice if they kept the roof open here for a couple games at FLA Live Arena, but we won't worry about that rain.
Lots to discuss, and you know what? I'll make myself extra available on the social medias, so if anybody wants to chime in, if you have any questions while you're on your week without territory talk, fire them away. I'd love to hear what you all have to say. Maybe I'll just be extra engaging next week for everybody. All right, folks. That'll do it for the final Territory Talk before Jameson's wedding. Territory Talk, as always, presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. You can probably follow along on Twitter. I'm sure there's going to be some content from the wedding. Unsanctioned content.
Doug on the dance floor is going to be a thing.
And I'm told that I get to have the mic, which, again, that is a risk being taken by all parties.
I'm excited for it.
Myself included. All right, folks, that's going to be it. I'm going to get off this mic, and we will talk to you again, not next week, but the week after. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. For Jameson Olive, I'm Doug Plagans. We'll talk to you next week. This has been Territory Talk.